Hey, everybody. Tan the Charlie Kirk Show. Citizen Kane joins the program as we talk post-Iowa and also some of the big court cases to keep your eyes on. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And also, what is going on with Senator Lankford? We dive deep with Rosemary Jinks. She's terrific for an update on the immigration quote-unquote deal that is being brokered. Check it out right now. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Joining us now is Citizen Kane from CitizenFreePress.com. Have had Citizen Free Press up monitoring the news. Kane, big, big week. Big takeaways from Iowa. Walk us through it, Kane. You've been covering it really well.
Well, big takeaway is Purdue stomped the Hoosiers. I snuck away.
Oh, wait, hold on. Did you have to get a Peacock login for that?
I would never pay Peacock. I would never pay NBC. No, I snuck over to Assembly Hall and caught the first half of the game.
The old-fashioned way. I wanted to watch it, but this NBC racket called Peacock, they don't even air it on. You have to get a Peacock thing. I think it is so sick what they're doing. Anyway, they put basketball on there now. Anyway, sorry, Kane, please continue.
Yeah, it's the third IU game that's been on Peacock. Neither my dad tried to purchase it. He's such a diehard fan. He's gone to every game for 40 years. He tried to purchase it. He couldn't even make it work.
No,
it was awful what they did with the playoffs. You know, what a fantastic. It turns out the Kansas City Miami game was frozen and it looked like Dolphin tacklers. I saw highlights. They didn't want to meet the frozen turf. But that's horrible that they put that game on Peacock. And so anyway, back to Iowa. It was frozen in Iowa like it was in Indiana. I think Trump did good numbers. And I actually thought, you know, I put a post up. It was from Axios. They had the temperature for the last five caucuses. And it was by far the coldest. Yet the turnout, you know, everyone's saying, oh, turnout was low. Well, it was actually about 2008, 2012 level turnout. So it wasn't awful. It just wasn't equal to 2016. I think Trump shut up the naysayers, earning 51%. And if you drop Vivek's 8% out, that would have put Trump at 60. So I think that's a very solid showing. And I'll wrap it up with, I'm sure you've seen, I've got the headline on CFP, but Drudge is going with that American Research Group, their New Hampshire polling, showing Trump and Nikki Haley tied at 40-40. So I don't believe that for a minute, but I thought I would throw that to you.
The only positive of that, Kane, is that it keeps Nikki Haley further away from Trump's orbit, right? And I want to talk to you about that. What would CFP Nation, you run one of the most powerful media companies on the right. For those of you that don't know, it is the new Drudge Report. It is citizenfreepress.com. The traffic is unbelievable. How would your audience react if Trump selected Nikki Haley as VP?
They would lose their mind. There's no part of the MAGA base. There's no, and CFP is definitely an America First MAGA website. There is no part of the base that supports Nikki Haley. He wouldn't find support even among 5% of this, you know, this America First base. Trump has to know. He hinted, as I'm sure you're aware, he hinted last week at the Fox News town hall that he had already made his decision and on who his vice president will be. But of course, he didn't say who that is. I firmly believe it will not be Nikki Haley, but the actual America First base would lose their mind. You would have people who would not. I think it would actually keep people from the polls, keep part of his base from voting if he chose Nikki Haley.
Yeah, it just I would love to see that be completely and totally dismissed altogether. And I mean, I think you would lose 10 to 15% across the board. 10 to 15% across the board. Tyler and I were saying on our chat on election night, we in good faith, we don't know if we could do our ballot chasing thing. I don't know in good faith if I could work and vote for Nikki Haley being, I say that as someone who loves Trump, but she is worse than George W. Bush.
It's that demoralizing. It's that demoralizing to the base. Someone like you, someone like, you know, the hundreds of thousands who read CFP every day. That's how much it bothers people. It bothers Tucker Carlson. You remember him from your AmFest.
Let's get that clip, guys. It's really great. Yeah, keep going, Kane.
Yeah, just like a month ago, Tucker said he would actively campaign against a ticket that had Nikki Haley on it and President Trump. And I think he's heard the message. You know, he's heard it from his son. I, like you, wish he would completely disavow it. That's all, you know, there's a way to be polite to Nikki and that and the voters who support her. And I think Trump could have threaded that needle at the Fox News town hall and sort of disavowed it and let people know. But I'm holding out. I have faith that it will not be her. I have strong faith. What I hear on my site is Vivek, Ben Carson, and some people are still pushing DeSantis. But it's really Ben Carson and Vivek are the two names I hear the most.
Yeah, and so how, any of these other names, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, you know, any of those being floated out? But so you think Vivek and Ben Carson are the two front runners right now?
It's so hard to read these tea leaves, Charlie, as you know, and that's what we try to do. But Trump certainly seems very, very happy with Vivek. And when you look at his rhetorical, I mean, he and Carrie Lake are the two greatest communicators in American politics, bar none, either side right now. And to be able to add someone like that to your ticket has to be appealing to Trump. And he was very careful. He never criticized Vivek until the last two or three days when he was upset about those T-shirts. But Vivek sort of quickly bent the knee. He dropped out right after the race, as I think, you know, ultimately, I think Nikki and Ronnie should have dropped out as well. But of course, that's not going to happen with all the money behind them. But those other names, Sarah Huckabee, people like her. It wouldn't hurt his candidacy, but I don't think it would really motivate people. You hear Elise Stefanik as well. Same. That's, I have the same reaction to Elise Stefanik, like, meh, you know, decent choice. Kristi Noem, sort of the same thing. So there's going to be some suspense, and that'll, you know, hopefully Trump won't make us wait until the convention in July.
No, I think actually the sooner the better. Raise money, put other things together. So Kane, let's talk about the curious case of Ron DeSantis. You're a sports guy. So the Philadelphia Eagles lost by 23 points on the road to the Buccaneers. Could you imagine if the Eagles go out to the press conference after the game, they say, you know, we've earned our ticket out of Tampa Bay. And even though we lost by 23 points, you know, we really have done a great job and we're going to continue. I have a lot of respect for Ron DeSantis as a governor of Florida. I will say that once. I'll say it again. He's been an excellent governor. As a presidential candidate, he has been unbelievably disappointing and maddening. Kane, talk about how the hundreds of millions of dollars, and in his case, about $120 million that we know of, I think it's even more than that, that $120 million could have been better allocated for the general. And what do we have to show for it?
We have a whole lot of nothing. We have a whole lot of nothing and two candidates who have no chance extending it to New Hampshire. You did the Eagles football analogy. Yeah, I'm sure the Eagles owner would have loved Sirianni showing up after the press conference. We had a fantastic season. We started 10-1, but we're not going to talk about how we lost six out of our last seven. I mean, it's a joke. These people, you know, you got to it with your point at the end about the $120 million. That what that money could have done to help Republicans win, to help Trump win in seven swing states and in reality about 10 swing counties. As you and I have talked in multiple appearances that I've made, this race is coming down to a few states and a few counties in each state and putting money on the ground, grassroots, like Turning Point did, $5 million to Scott Pressler for Wisconsin. The RNC and these billionaires and Ken Griffin and Larry Ellison from Oracle, they, you know, all the money they wasted on Tim Scott, for heaven's sakes, and all of these other candidates, that's $100 million that could have could have been building the most intense crowd game. That we could have done it better than Mark Zuckerberg and his operation and those vans in Wisconsin, which, by the way, during the last week, I'm sure you saw that, were announced that those were illegal, the ones that they used in Racine that were paid for by Zuckerberg. But anyway, yeah, it's $120 million that was wasted. And I blame Ronna McDaniel not getting together with these billionaires and the donors and facing the reality that Trump has had this race for 3 months. It's been over for 3 months. Let's stop wasting our money. Let's hold it aside and let's use it on grassroots efforts to actually win.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. If you're looking for a reliable and clear way to have voice and text communication to any number from anywhere in the world, you need a satellite phone, and no one does it better than the Satellite Phone Store. So go to sat123.com. Check out sat123.com. There's no tracking. No one can listen in on your calls, and it's the most secure way to communicate is from satellite phone to satellite phone. Even the U.S. military uses satellite phones, and you'll never get an advancement from any companies because everything you do with a satellite phone will be 100% private. In the USA this year, only 5% of the island in Maui burned, but 95% of the island lost its power and cell service. Even the 911 emergency service was down because they had no access to satellite communication backup. Be ready. Prepare your family with power and communication. Go to sat123.com. Get a free sat phone for free on a 15-month agreement and a $1,200 value. Safety and security are just a click away. Sat123.com. That's sat123.com. So, Kane, I want to isolate this story for you here. And I know that our team was chatting with you. Jack Smith is looming over the entire presidential race. It's a sleeping giant case, though, that could upend the prosecution of Trump. The Supreme Court has been asked to consider a case that doesn't mention the former president but could invalidate half of the January 6th charges against him. Kane, walk us through this.
Yeah, it's nothing, you know, to the dedicated listeners to the Charlie Kirk Show, it's nothing new. But what it is Matthew Graves and the January 6th prosecutors included this charge, obstruction of an official proceeding, and they included it in over 300 J6 cases. Those 300 people are already in prison and they're serving time on that case. Well, one of the defendants decided to take it to the Supreme Court because this the whole point of this statute, this obstruction of an official proceeding, it related to paperwork. This had to do with Enron. This was an Enron a statute created by Congress specifically for financial crimes, for destroying documents. That's what it all evolved out of. And somehow now it's been twisted by Matthew Graves and the J6 prosecuting team. They've twisted it to say that January 6th was an attempt to obstruct an official proceeding. So the Supreme Court will decide this case. It specifically doesn't have anything to do with Trump, the case that's been brought before them, except that two of the four charges that Jack Smith has filed against President Trump in the D.C. case, two of the four are related to that obstruction of a criminal, of an official proceeding. So if the fact that the Supreme Court decided to take it up, Politico basically admits in that article that it's not a good sign for Jack Smith, that the fact that the Supreme Court has agreed to rule on this case probably means they're going to overrule the D.C. appeals court and say that this charge is completely unrelated to January 6th. So what is the effect that will have? That's what Politico focused on. It's a timing thing. The Supreme Court isn't going to decide on this Fisher case probably until June. Well, Jack Smith was set to get started on March 24th. So they sort of lay the odds on whether Judge Chutkan will postpone or sort of delay that trial until we get a hearing, or excuse me, until we get a ruling from the Supreme Court. Because imagine if it does start in March 24th, Trump could already be convicted when the Supreme Court would rule in June that those charges need to be thrown out. So there's a whole mess, and it's just creating a whole bunch of indecision. But the bottom line, and I'll throw it back to you, the bottom line is Politico is admitting that the Supreme Court is likely to throw out that charge. That will help 300 J6 defendants. It will help President Trump, and it will be a very bad day for Jack Smith.
The Daily Beast, and this is the front page of citizenfreepress.com, the Daily Beast of all places has an article, quote, "Why We Can't Just Shrug Off the Fannie Willis Scandal." This is related to the Lawfare. Yes. The DA prosecuting Trump prolonged an investigation to justify a hefty salary for a romantic partner. That is a genuine conflict of interest that would require her dismissal by Andrew Fleischman. This is a big, big thing. Yes. Andrew Fleischman is a criminal defense lawyer in Atlanta, along with trial and personal injury work. Fleischman specializes in representing the wrongfully or unfairly convicted left winger.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's actually why I put those two purple headlines back at the top of CFP, because that was such an important story from last night. What he's saying is essentially going along with what Jonathan Turley has said, which is that this behavior with this very strict laws that Georgia has on conflict of interest for judges, it's almost impossible that she will not be removed from the case. So that's a huge admission from the left, from Fleischman, that Fannie Willis is likely to be removed. However, he says that it is not necessarily likely that she will be charged. And we've got, I'll throw in really quick, Governor Kemp headed off to Davos without opening a criminal investigation into Fannie Willis.
He can fire her, by the way. He has full ability to fire her. He could if he wants.
Yeah. Yes, he could. He might get sued for it, but he would probably win. Like, he has that authority. Boom. Instead, he went to Davos. He's not going to investigate, or he's going to set up a commission that won't even be set up for 2 or 3 months to look into it. But last, I know I only have 10 seconds. The judge, Scott McAfee, has scheduled February 24th. That's the hearing date for the Fannie Willis allegations. So he could remove her starting on February 24th.
Kane, you're excellent. Thanks so much, man. Citizenfreepress.com. Donald Trump just might be the luckiest man alive if Big Fannie Willis has to be dismissed. And Jack Smith, just keep praying for that man. It's unjust what's happening to him. He might just receive a couple breaks on the Lawfare front. Kane, great work. Thank you. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. It's time to put some prep in your step with Good Ranchers New Year, New Meat Special. Delicious, safe, and convenient meal prep is just one box away. 2024 is your year to ditch the mystery of the meat aisle and get the American meat delivered instead. Subscribe to any box and they'll add over 2 pounds of pre-trimmed, better than organic chicken breasts to your order for free. Not once, not twice, but every order for a year. Let me tell you, Good Ranchers chicken will change what you know about chicken. It's pasture raised, given zero antibiotics or vaccines, and is so tender and juicy you won't believe it's the same meat you've been eating most of your life. Simply go to goodranchers.com, pick your box, use promo code CHARLIE, and enjoy $189 of free chicken in 2024, plus $20 off your first order. Stock your fridge with easy-to-prepare, clean, delicious meat all year long. Not sure which box to choose from? That's okay. Go to goodranchers.com, promo code CHARLIE. That is goodranchers.com, promo code CHARLIE. American meat delivered, goodranchers.com, promo code CHARLIE. Joining us now is Rosemary Jenks. Rosemary, thank you for joining the program. Rosemary, you were the first person to report on this alleged border deal. Tell us the story of how you came across this information directly from Senator Lankford's office.
So Senator Lankford has obviously been doing all this negotiating behind closed doors. He's the only Republican in the room. And then he goes out and he briefs other Republican senators on what they've agreed to. There is no text for this deal yet. So I'm still very hopeful that this can all be erased. But I spoke with one of the senators he briefed and got that person's notes. And I have a whole lot more faith in that senator than I do in Senator Lankford. And so I went public with what was in those notes. And I have not had any pushback. Nobody has said directly to me, including Senator Lankford, this is not in there. This provision is not in there, or that provision is not in there. So, you know, obviously this, the graphic that Fox News did has gone all over the internet and nobody has pushed back. So I'm very confident in the provisions that those provisions were in fact agreed to by Senator Lankford and the Democrats in the room. And I hope that they come out. I sincerely do. I hope he walks away from this deal.
Yeah, and Senator Lankford hasn't denied it, but he sent out a little snarky, sarcastic tweet saying that a lie goes around the world before the truth has time to put its pants on, something of that sarcastic, snarky variation. But he hasn't flat out denied it. So, Rosemary, let's go through the specifics. What are the specifics? What of this border deal?
So, again, I don't know all of the contours of this, and, you know, that would be interesting to see. But what I have been told, the two most egregious provisions are, number one, that illegal aliens will get immediate work permits as soon as they're released from custody. Right now, if you come into the country and say you want to claim asylum, you have to wait 180 days after you file your asylum application before you get a work permit. This erases that and says, basically, on day one, you can apply for your work permit. You get your work permit. You get released into the country. And so this is essentially saying we're going to continue catch and release, and we're going to give you an immediate work permit. So that actually incentivizes more illegal immigration.
Of course it does.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they're coming for. The other truly egregious provision is this idea of they're creating a new expulsion authority, and it only kicks in if the 7-day average of encounters at the border is 5,000 per day. So it's okay if 4,999 illegal aliens come across that border every day, 365 days a year. But if the 7-day average goes over 5,000 per day, then an expulsion authority kicks in so that we can basically expel illegal aliens, which we should be able to do under current law anyway. It's just insane. It's like, it's, you know, the states like California that are saying it's okay if you shoplift under $1,000 or whatever it is.
Yes.
You're essentially legalizing that limit. You're saying it's fine to shoplift less than that. We're doing the same thing with this plan with illegal immigration, and it's absurd. If you add up 5,000 times 365, it's 1.8 million, but, over 1.8 million.
And maybe I'm reading too much into this. This was my initial reaction, though, is that if they acknowledge they can get it down to 5,000, then they acknowledge that they can cut it in half. So,
of course,
they're telling you we have complete control of the border, is what they're telling you. We just don't want to do it. And we're not going to go down to zero or 1,000. We'll just have the invasion kind of move along at 5,000 a day while getting mass amnesty for everybody.
Well, and if you think about this, all someone like Alejandro Mayorkas, the secretary of DHS, would have to do is say, hey, Mexico, could you just slow it down for a day or two? We don't want that 7-day average to get over 5,000.
Exactly.
So just, you know, just slow it down a little bit for a day or two. But the other thing is, remember, President Trump, there was a illegal immigration surge under President Trump, and he, because he was determined to do it, he fixed it. He got it done under existing laws. He set up the Remain in Mexico policy. He had agreements, asylum agreements with Central American and nations and Mexico. He got it done. He broke that surge, and we had the most secure border we have had in decades when President Trump left office and President Biden came in. So this can all be done without any new laws. And yet here is Senator Lankford negotiating with Democrats, which never goes well on immigration. And we're leading toward the same path that we always end up in.
Every time. So I just, I want to reiterate this, though. Are deportations part of this deal at all?
There is, apparently they are doing something to make expedited removal easier. I don't know the details on that. So, you know, there is something there. And, you know, I've been told that they are also changing the credible fear standard for asylum applicants. Again, I don't know the details. But you know what? If these two egregious provisions are in there, none of the rest of it matters, because you're incentivizing illegal immigration and setting the baseline at 4,999 per day.
Can you help me understand the psychology of Senator Lankford? I don't know him that well. I'm immensely disappointed. The way that we've articulated on the show is that Mitch McConnell selected a red state senator because they think that they're immune to any sort of political check and balance. He's 6 years out from an election, so his term goes out till January 2029 because they think voters are stupid and they forget. So that's why he was selected. But he calls himself a Christian. He talks all about biblical values. Can you just add some context in the psychology of why he's doing something so wicked?
I am not a psychologist. I do not know Senator Lankford. I have been watching him. I will say he has actually come a long way from his days in the House on immigration. He sounded a whole lot more lenient on immigration, on illegal immigration in particular, when he was in the House. He's taken several trips to the border, and I think that has opened his eyes to some degree. But here's the problem, and this happens every few years in the Senate. It's always in the Senate, it seems. Some member of Congress, a Republican, gets in their mind that they're smarter than everyone else and they know the solution. And all it will take is for them to sit down with the Democrats and talk about it, and they can come up with a compromise that will work. It never happens. There are always, immigration is such a complicated issue. I've been doing this for 30 years now, and there is still more to learn every day. But, they don't see the unintended consequences of the things that they're agreeing to. And I'll tell you, the Democrats do see them. The Democrats and Democratic staffers run circles around Republicans when it comes to setting out immigration law, because the Democratic staffers usually come from places like AILA and, other law groups that have been doing this for years. So it's just it's a bad thing. I can't, I think he's got himself into a position where it's hard for him to back out, but he needs to back out. He just needs to walk away. And that's the other thing. If you can't walk away from a negotiation, you've already lost.
No, it's a hostage situation then. It's not a negotiation. You're being held hostage by Chuck U. Schumer. We're going to put the phone number for Senator Lankford here. Rosemary, you are the immigration expert. I totally agree. It's a very technically complicated issue. However, I will add, it's morally not that complicated when you have mass migrant. I know you'll agree with that. The big picture, morals, super simple. The technical H-1B, work visas, the tech thing of it, there's a lot there that goes over even my head at times. But from the big moral argument, why is it that Senate Republicans hate their voters so much?
So this is the thing. Every Republican, every politician has two voices coming at them. The voice of their constituents, the voters, who are generally middle class or lower class, hardworking Americans who are trying to put food on the table. And then the voices of the donor class. And the donor class really, really, really wants their cheap labor and their cheap nannies and their cheap landscapers. And the donor class is obviously giving money. So there's a competing interest there. But the fact is that all of these millions of illegal aliens who are coming across the border, and all of the millions more who would come across under Senator Lankford's plan, they're not going to be hurting the elites. They're going to be hurting average working Americans. They're going to be increasing housing prices because there's going to be more competition. They're going to be increasing, competition for all sorts of resources. We've already seen kids kicked out of schools to house illegal aliens. It's insane. And it's all targeted at poor Americans and particularly minorities. Those are the people who are going to suffer.
It really is something. Also, your website really quick for people who want to support you.
We are at iaproject.org, iaproject.org, and we are a brand new organization and we need all the support we can get.
All right, I want to tell you about Herzog. Herzog Foundation is amazing. I want you guys to check it out right now. We've been talking about how our nation's public schools have been captured by progressive ideologues teaching things that directly contradict the values of millions of American families. For those of you worried about the best educational path for your kids and grandkids, I'm pleased to announce our new partnership with the folks at the Herzog Foundation. They are the trusted source of American K-12 private education with a remarkable suite of resources for parents and grandparents. From their online publication, The Lion, to the new podcast, Making the Leap, Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents. To learn more about how your family and faith and community can flourish through a quality Christian education, go to HerzogFoundation.com. That is HerzogFoundation.com. HerzogFoundation.com. H-E-R-Z-O-G. HerzogFoundation.com. So Rosemary, I want you to get to just some of the policy parts of this for the uninitiated that are feeling the effects of mass migration, housing prices, crime, rape, theft, fentanyl, hospitals overrun, which is something that is just happening like you wouldn't believe. American citizens are being put in triage for necessary medical conditions because people from Uzbekistan, people from Kazakhstan, people from Vietnam who have broken into our country without IDs, because we're such a compassionate nation, we say, sure, come on. And they have these diseases and they come in and we treat them. Meanwhile, Americans are left to go die. But Rosemary, just can you just reiterate the volume of the crisis? It's hard to put into words. The border has never been this bad. How many people a day that we know of are entering the country?
Well, I can tell you that in December, we hit an all-time record in our entire history as a nation. And there were more than 300,000 illegal aliens who crossed in that month alone. Since Biden took office, it's about 7.8 million. I could be wrong in the point, but over 7 million. And that doesn't include the unknown gotaways. We've got about around 2 million known gotaways. So people that they have evidence crossed the border and escaped without being taken into custody. But we have no idea how many unknown gotaways there are. And we have no idea if they're terrorists or criminals or gangbangers or, you know, whatever else. We know that a whole lot of Chinese military age men have come across. We know that, well, most of the people coming across now are military age men from almost every country in the world. It's beyond imagining the chaos that we are allowing. And, you know, Border Patrol agents, you have to feel so sorry for them because they took a job where they were going to protect our nation and they're not being allowed to do their job. And it is breaking them. The morale in the Border Patrol is in the toilet. And, you know, they're having to go and cut fences that the Texas Department of Public Safety has put up to let illegal aliens into the United States. It's the exact opposite of what they should be doing, and they know it. And it is just breaking these people.
This is VanityFair.com. Thieves in the night, a vast burglary ring from Chile has been targeting wealthy U.S. households and Venezuela, by the way. This is an untold. People might say, oh, how does this impact me? We have never seen so many home break-ins. It's happening in every community, upper middle class, suburban. By the way, it's hitting everybody. I say, oh, I don't have a rich home. No. They're hitting it like you wouldn't believe. And then they get out the next day. They get out the next day because of our bail stuff. They don't bring weapons. They know what they're doing, by the way. Fake and fraudulent IDs. It's a mafia network. According to federal law enforcement, they believe that there are 2,000 burglars, robbers, that are hitting homes on a nightly basis. And they've come in illegally, some legally, and we just kind of just take it. We say, oh, you know, that's interesting. The whole country is being looted. They might end up in your living room tonight. And they say it right here, VanityFair.com, a vast mafia-style criminal ring from Chile and Venezuela robbing thousands of homes. It's happening right now. And by the way, if you don't believe me, go download your Nextdoor app and just go look at how people are talking about home invasions. We're talking about the Chilean thieves is a very, very big issue right now. And yeah, producer Andrew's family member's home, we're just hitting Santa Barbara. These Chilean thieves break into our country and then break into our living room. But diversity is our strength, isn't it, Rosemary?
Yeah, well, that's what we keep being told. You know, one of the things that we did pretty much immediately when we started the Immigration Accountability Project is start a second Twitter account that is called ICE_ERO Watch. And ERO stands for Enforcement and Removal Operations, because we realized that ICE was putting out press releases usually every day, sometimes more than once a day, about the criminal aliens that they actually have caught. And remember, this is under an administration that does everything in its power not to apprehend criminal aliens. But they put out these press releases and they list what the alien has been convicted of. And it is despicable how many of these are sexual assault of a minor, rape, domestic violence. Yep. I mean, you know, and it's every single day, drip, 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 and nobody's paying attention to this. And so we started this Twitter account just to push out these press releases so that people can see a whole list of, you know, a timeline of these scumbags who we have let in, the Biden administration has let into our country to victimize and terrorize us.
Thank you. Excellent work. Check out our website. And by the way, all of you should be owning weapons, pistols, handguns, shotguns. If a Chilean thief ring comes into your living room, I hope that you will use your Second Amendment rights. That's the only way we end this. It's the only way we end it. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.